Hare Krishna. First of all, thank you all very, very, very much. Indeed, this is a happy birthday. In a sense, yes. You somehow made me very, very, let me say, I'm very moved by the good mixture of the spiritual message, but also the humor. What a good idea to MC an event, no? We are curious what the next, what they will do next. Before I give my Vyasa Puja address to all of you, I just want to say one thing. Now, but by nature, I'm somewhat of a shy person, and so you may ask yourself, then why can you sit like this and in public have your foot, your feet made? We'll give an answer to this question. There's a second consideration. First is I'm shy, the second consideration is, you know, when you become older in Krishna consciousness, you practice this for more than 40 years, coming to 50, something happens in the heart, and another thing happens in the psychology. In the heart, you become more purified, and you do not want that attention comes to your person. And in the psychology, you know, we are all thinking human beings, we become realistic. And we think, oh, I'm not such a great person, I'm trying my best, but I know who I am. And you don't need masks any longer. You don't want them any longer. You know, at the time of death, all masks are anyways destroyed. So why should you waste your time to put on masks? You know, it's not very intelligent use of time. So, okay, you might say, so you have just said you are, that you do not like to draw attention, you do not think you deserve a lot of worship, or worship at all, then how do you allow the foot bathing ceremony? Are you something wrong? Is there a split in your personality? And I would like to address this question because I'm asking this question myself. What I have come to understand is that our glorious tradition, which has been going on since many, many thousands of years, places a great emphasis on spiritual guidance. We are all spiritually blind. We cannot see. We can't see materially very well. We need spectacles, but this will come in our age of many of us. But the main problem is we are spiritually blind, and therefore we don't really understand who we are. We don't really have a direct vision of Krishna, all this. So we are spiritually blind to the spiritual reality, and therefore our tradition places a lot of emphasis on guidance, on the role of the guide, the spiritual guide, and the guru. So the tradition gives us certain instructions how we should deal with the guide, how we should connect with the guide. And one of these many, many distractions relates to celebrating the time when he was born. It appears, we say, politely. And within these guidelines, there is a foot washing ceremony. So I want to, I have accepted this tradition. I have accepted that spiritual guidance is important, I wanted to say. I have accepted this, and therefore I am moving within the tradition. But it's very, very important for me to understand the tradition and then to explain it to you. This is not about water and garlands and oil and new socks and all this. It is something totally different. Someone who understands the ceremony on this level, he will need to educate himself a little bit. This is about emphasizing the need of spiritual guidance and accepting spiritual guidance. The way we emphasize it with the foot washing ceremony is just an expression, a cultural expression. But there is a message within this expression. Just like I'm now speaking in English, it's a form of addressing you. It's a language which the majority of you are familiar with. But this is not about English words, what I'm saying. There's a message, a deep message within the words. So the culture gives us a deep message, and we would miss the whole point if we don't listen to the message of the culture. Here it is, take spiritual guidance, accept spiritual guidance in your life. That's the point of, this is the expression, that's what is, expressed through this particular item of the celebrating the spiritual master. No, it's about following. So the ceremony, if you want to translate the ceremony in clear English, is think about how you can make spiritual guidance a more important point in your life. Just like when I speak to you in English, don't think about the individuals, the specific, the different letters of my language. Think about what does he want to express with these English words. Very important. It's important for me to make this point. Can you understand? Only with this understanding I'm willing to do this ceremony, otherwise I would not do it because I'm shy. I don't think I'm a special person. I think I'm a servant of my spiritual master who is doing his best to share his message with all of you. Good. So I want to now switch the subject, go to another topic. How do we do? Just let us briefly sing. Singing is so good.
Oh. Shri Krishna. शून्यवादि पराशर्यादि शतादिने श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्या प्रभुनित्यानन्दा श्रीअद्वैतागदाधरा श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्दा सुरतोपगो वामभद्रमदे गति सर्वस्य
Hare Krishna. On such a day, I would like to address a deep personal conviction to you, maybe my deepest personal conviction, something on which I'm resting all my whole life upon, foundation, so to say, of my life. It is not always easy to understand a personality which is different than we are. And I guess the easiest is if he speaks to us and tells us, this is how you can understand me. This is my essence. And I believe you deserve such an explanation on such a day that you have come from far and wide to celebrate my birthday. You should know the person heart whom you come to celebrate, and it will also help you to connect properly with this person and not create any, let us say, not elevating connections, not any uncomfort where you feel uncomfortable and he might feel uncomfortable. Therefore I wish to speak about this. See, one of my, what I like to do in my private time is chant and read. And for this purpose I'm going once a year to Vrindavan. Then it's easy for me to switch off everything else and just concentrate on chanting and reading. And this year, besides spending time with the Holy Name, I very much wanted to understand Krishna's instructions in the Uddhava Gita. We all know the Bhagavad Gita. It's a very, very important work for us. Some say it's our Bible, you know. But little is known, at least for me, about the Uddhava Gita. These were the instructions of Krishna which he left to another of his dearest devotee, Uddhava. He was very close to him, he was a cousin. And he looked so similar to Krishna, so physically, so similar that the gopis, when they first saw Uddhava, mistook him to be Krishna. He was very close to Krishna, in other words, close to his heart and also close to his being. He looked like him. Except there were a few differences, of course, very remarkable differences. When you look close, you know, oh, this is not Krishna. But very similar. Sometimes, you know, I have one disciple who looks apparently like me. Both of us are wondering why, but it's Gadatha. And Gadatha goes on the street, they think, you're Sachinanda Swami. And me, sometimes people stop and say, are you Marco Schmieke? There's a big difference between us. So Uddhava looked very similar to Krishna. So much that he was mistaken. And Krishna gave him the instructions, which are very, very deep and very important. And I spent the whole Kartik reading them, and when I was finished with them, I read on. And then I became very, very distressed by what I read. I read about the departure of Krishna from this world. You know, when you are in Kartik, you only think of, you try to only think of Krishna, and then you hear how the person leaves in such an amazing way the planet, you take it very much to heart. It becomes something like maybe when the dearest person in our lives leaves us. It just was shocking. Then I continued reading on, and then I read about another departure. The departure of the great devotee Parikshit Maharaj from this world, and how the Bhagavatam comes to the close with this departure. And at that moment I came into a mood which I often come. It comes since my childhood to me. I think I'm only here in this planet for a limited amount of time. I don't know if you know that you will die. It happens to everyone. But most of us do not like to think about it because it's so frightening. And when it happens to someone, we think it's the most extraordinary thing. While in reality, it's the most common thing. It's the most sure thing. There's nothing very sure, but one thing is sure in this world: we are going to die. Every one of us. Even the small little boy who was so cute and who, Deva is his name, Devamrita is his full name, who was helping in the ceremony a little while. Everyone's going to die. I don't know if you know this. Theoretically, but this is a grave subject matter. We will leave everything. It's not something, oh yes, good philosophy. No, you are going to leave everything behind. Even your kanti malas. This is the thing which you wear, tulsi malas which you wear around the neck. And you will think it's the wrong time when you die, and everyone will think it's the wrong time. But it's the absolutely normal, sure thing. But because you have not made... So since, to make a long story short, since my childhood, I'm thinking about this. And I have regular dreams about different scenarios in which I die. And it's not a morose dream, not a sick dream, but I'm preparing myself for that moment, and I'm thinking what I will do. I will, everything else is useless. I understand at this moment, or not useless, I wanted to say cannot help me. What can help me then? Where do I find shelter? And immediately comes the answer which comes to my mind is Krishna is my shelter. Krishna was with me before my birth. Krishna is with me during this life. And Krishna will be with me when everyone cries, oh, he has died. Some may be happy, but majority, I hope, will not be so happy. So Krishna will be with me when my body is placed into the fire. He will be there, and he will be with me when I leave this body. So I think, shouldn't I make a relationship with Krishna? Should I mean, he real friend, you know. He's always with me. So this informs my thinking, this informs my psychology. It's even in my horoscope that this person who is born in this constellation will think about his own death and prepare for that. It's even in the horoscope. It has come with me from my birth in this spirit, this thought. It's not something I approach it quite unemotionally while I'm. I think this is the only short thing in life. Now, let's get prepared for this. So, when I read about the departure of Krishna, and when I read about Parikshit Maharaj, and I was first very aggrieved, it was a problem, I was really looking out of my window, I remember, everything looks black now. Krishna has left the planet. The lawn, the grass looks black. The walls of this house look black. Everything is sad. I thought like this. But then the thoughts came, where is shelter now? Where is shelter in this world where death is happening to everyone and where even the Lord departs this world as if he is dying, so that the materialists can all think, yes, he's one of us, no? Where is shelter in this world? I mean, not relief. Relief we all know. When we are hungry, like yesterday evening I was hungry and I broke my diet, I ate one pizza and a quarter of a pizza. I thought tomorrow's birthday, so let's that was a relief from hunger. It was a pleasant relief from hunger. Or when one is very tired, when one can sleep, that's a relief from being tiredness. But I guarantee, it's guaranteed, I will become hungry again. In fact, it's starting already. we will become tired again. Relief is always temporary. Now, most of the people of this world are struggling to find relief from the things which trouble them, which they see as problems, and they think, if I have solved this, I'm fine. But no, you will suffer again and again and again unless you find shelter. You may have fixed this problem, but another problem will come, and this is the bird. When you jump into the water, you can expect to get wet. No. When you come into this world, you can expect to confront material existence, birth, the frustration of desires, illnesses, and finally death. Yes, there is relief. In this world, which people call happiness, you know, when they find relief. But spiritual people are not so interested in this temporary happiness or relief which this world has to offer. They want to find a solution to the problems of being in the wrong place. They want to find a solution to the problems of birth, old age, disease, and death. They want to find this, and they understand that relief is when we are sheltered at Krishna's lotus feet, or with the Lord, when we are thinking like this. Yes, I'm a thinking, but it's not so easy to meet the Lord for an ordinary soul. How can I meet the Lord? And I became very interested in this question. Because remember, I was suffering at that time. I was not comfortable. I was, in good English language, ill at ease. Ill at ease. So then as I read on in the Bhagavatam, I saw the solution of the Bhagavatam, and I would like to share it with you today. I read what, according to my tradition in which I have taken initiation, is the solution for this question: how can I meet Krishna? The scriptures say, and it's throughout the scriptures, the Vedic scriptures, even in the Mahabharata you find this, that you can meet the Lord in his most accessible form, you know, the form where he is most easy, that is his holy name. I read this in the Bhagavatam. There was a lot of glorification of the holy name, and I think it was placed there to give an answer to exactly the problem I was facing, the sadness in my heart I was facing. I'm in a world of death, which is not a fit place for the Lord. The Lord leaves it and goes to his spiritual planet. He leaves in his same body, but by the way, he's the Lord, he doesn't die. You know, he leaves in the same body, but he makes a show as if he leaves, as if he has an accident, a hunting accident. And then I read about Parikshit Maharaj's thing, and then the next thing is the glorification of the holy name. And I thought, I'm preaching about it, I'm writing books about it, but now let me deal with this on a personal level. And I was thinking, how will I attain the absorption in the holy name? How will I attain what is called in philosophy Naam Ruchi, and a deep taste in the holy name, which ultimately comes into a stage which you call Naam Smaranam. You remember the holy name all the time. It is all the time in you, so that you will attain something like Naam Samadhi. You will merge in Krishna's existence as the form of the holy name. Merge in the sense that you keep your identity, but you will be totally immersed. We have immersion retreats. That's a different way of saying samadhi, you know. Yes, how will I do this? And then I thought, well, in the age of Kali, I'm not so qualified. It is said in the Kali Yuga, the minds of the people are distorted by the mode of ignorance. That means they lament all the time. I saw this a lot yesterday when I gave the darshans. I mean, the devotees came. This is a situation. Depression, I saw that also yesterday. Bewilderment. What am I to do now? Also, Kali Yuga symptom. People are, as a result of this mental distortion, they are short-sighted, they can't see the ultimate benefit, the ultimate shreyas. They are often unfortunate, they are gluttonous. Gluttonous means that it is viel fraßen. There's a German word. German is so drastic. Glatt und verfressen, sagt man in Deutsch. I think you learn a little German. Verfressen. Better you forget it. It's a really bad word in German. I saw this yesterday when the pizza came. And I was thinking, okay, tomorrow I give a lecture about the symptoms of the age of Kali. I don't really have to control myself. I don't. There were two big pizzas. One was more attractive than the other, but I said, today I will only take as much as I need to get the hunger problem solved, but not more. I want to say something tomorrow which is important, and then I can't now eat too much, you know. But most of the time I think you know when there's a good meal. I have noted many of you have excess bellies. I'm the man, I can't comment on the lady. Excess weight is available in Kali Yuga. Because we are what we are, influenced by the age. And therefore, because we are so unfortunate, we are not so, we are neglectful in our chanting. No, we are neglectful in our chanting of the Holy Name. And the Bhagavatam addresses this problem. It speaks about a person on the deathbed. There is a man. He is terrified. He is about to die. And he is collapsed on his bed. See the man who has collapsed on the bed. This is what my poetry. Although his voice is faltering, and although he is hardly conscious of what he is saying, if he utters the holy name of the Supreme Lord at that time, he can be freed from the reaction of his karma, and he can achieve the supreme destination. But still, the man on the deathbed will not chant. Still, the people in the age of Kali will not worship the Supreme Lord. We are so unfortunate. The Lord has come in such a merciful way as the Holy Name. But because we are so covered in our lives, because we are so unfortunate, we only feel maybe a little bit when we are sitting with 300 people in one narrow room in the Radha Deshmelos, and the kirtan is really going on, and we catch one or two mantras and we think, wow, this is the best. Rare exceptions we have this. And this is because in this age of Kali, the atmosphere is polluted. You know, there's always everywhere Wi-Fi. Do you know that through you there are a million telephone calls are running through the atmosphere here, and they don't always speak Bhagavatam. Atmosphere is polluted. Things are polluted. The food you get is no longer so good. This is a big problem for the Ayurvedic doctors. They know, if they are honest, that the herbs which they use to make these powerful Ayurvedic medicines don't really have so much power any longer. That is why many intelligent people are looking towards frequency medicines, you know, small mini currents which are putting the cellular milieu, the atmosphere of this, the diseased atmosphere, into a healthy atmosphere. They look for in this direction, the scientists and so on. It's known we are losing more and more vitality, what else we lose. I don't want to give a depressive lecture this morning. You know what you lose. You are losing it also. You know, the fortune, the access to real spiritual experience. We are so covered. Instead, I see many devotees are so disappointed. They have become so negative. And if you look nowadays in the internet, you don't even want to press the first button because you know it's so much negativity. Everyone is complaining and throwing, crying their misery into the world. You think, what can we do? How can we help these people to become a little bit happy and clear and Krishna conscious? It's not easy to preach in this age. Yes. So, therefore, my dear devotees, because we live in an unfortunate time, only Krishna can help. Only the Almighty, this is a nice word for God, which we use in the Christian tradition, the Omnipotent, who has all the potencies, can come and can help. And He has come in the holy name. If you miss Him here, you will miss Him everywhere. If you miss Him here, you will miss Him everywhere. And if you find Him here, you will find Him everywhere. If you find Him here, you will find Him everywhere. I want to make it, you know, I want to talk about my core convictions. And this is what I'm convinced of. This is my deepest conviction in the air. And this is really the thing I have most faith in. This is, if you want to understand me, this is what I think of that. And you know, it is not that I'm thinking it just because I wish to think something. I wish to have an answer. I wish to have a solution. It's not just wishful thinking. The Bhagavatam, you know, the which is identical, which is another form of Krishna, is making this very clear. It says it's impossible to purify this age. Only Krishna can do it. And a wonderful example is given. The example of gold, which has alloyed metals in it. I hope I make sense in English. It's impure gold. There's only one thing to purify that gold. You can't blow on it. You can't put a chemical solution and rub it. You can't sweep it. You have to bring fire and melt the gold, and then the iron or whatever is in there will separate from the gold and you have pure gold. This fire which purifies us is the holy name, Krishna. This is the logic of the Bhagavata. The Bhagavatam is very clear about it. It says, my dear king, although Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, it's very bad, there's still one good quality about this age. One good thing. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. See, these in the language of this birthday decoration, simply by chanting, these unfortunate creatures there, the who are bound and captured in the kukongs, can become this and fly into the kingdom of God. That's such a beautiful decoration, no? This is where the Bhagavatam, this is what the Bhagavatam leaves us with. This is in the final concluding. It's in the 12th canto when the Bhagavatam comes to the end. Mm. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, he says, although previously it was described that this age is an age full of faults, now it is said that it's the best age. It's the best of yugas. It is said that Kali Yuga is the very best of all yugas. Although Kali Yuga is an ocean of fault, one good quality rules like a king over his kingdom. As one king alone can kill and remove many thieves, this one good quality destroys all the faults and mistakes that were just mentioned. What is that quality? It is through chanting alone, which is independent of meditation and other processes, that one can attain the highest human goal. Do you know what is the highest human goal according to the Bhagavata? Love of God, and yes, prema. Yes, you know everything. Now Vishwanath Chakravarti tells us another thing which has become my motto in life. I am not saying chant. No, you have misunderstood me totally if you think this is there. I am saying something different. Please listen to this. Chanting by itself can produce results. Then what to speak if one combines chanting with meditation? This is my whole message to you. This is my whole thing. I'm not saying chant Hare Krishna. I'm saying chanting Hare Krishna will also not use you, will not be useful for you, if you don't learn to chant with absorption. If you just finish, bear the pizza, please. Not like this. And you can study your life. What have you attained up till now? Has your heart melted? Do you feel sometimes some ecstasy which makes you so happy that you can jump and embrace the trees, but you don't do it because then you will be on internet? Have you ever... That only comes if you serve the holy name and if you chant with absorption. Chanting can produce some results. That is there. No? You spend your time properly and Krishna hears that you try it. It is not without result. I don't want to speak so drastically. But what to speak if you combine it with this absorption. Therefore, I have tried to write this book. It took me many years and was so hard work, you can't believe. I was collapsing sometimes and sleeping under my writing table because it was so hard. And because what I wanted to share is that we need to chant with absorption. That only happens when you are thinking about the person whose name you chant. If you are connecting with Krishna, if you chant for Krishna, if when you say Hare Krishna, you know, oh Krishna, this, oh Krishna, I just said his name. Krishna, yeah, Krishna, Hare Krishna, again Krishna. Ooh. Krishna, Krishna, my God, so much Krishna. It's about Krishna, it seems. It's not about me. Turn away from your concocted personality, I want to say, and turn to Krishna and discover your real personality. Parikshit Maharaj got it. It's described. Before his see where we are here. Yes. Before his departure from this world, the saintly king settled his mind within his spiritual self by pure intelligence and proceeded to meditate upon the supreme absolute truth. His life air stopped to move, and he became as still as a tree. You know, he was totally absorbed in Krishna, in his holy name, and he was totally there, and he entered what is called samadhi, the highest form of samadhi. And later the incident with the snake came, but he had left before the snake was biting him. There arose a terrible cry of lamentation. There arose a terrible cry of lamentation in all directions, on the earth and in the heavens, and all the demigods, demons, human beings, and other creatures were astonished. Now comes the positive part. Drums sounded in the regions of the heavens, and the celestial Gandharvas and the Apsaras sang. The demigods showered flowers and spoke words of praise. So although there was lamentation at first, soon everyone realized the great soul and gone back to get voted. A great soul had gone back to Godhead. And that was certainly a cause of great jubilation. So flowers came, drums, music, everyone was praising Parikshit Maharaj's attainment. I hope that in this life something similar will be granted to me. I am not such a great soul as Parikshit Maharaj, and I know I need time to purify my heart, more time. But I have really no doubt that this is possible by the holy name. Miracles can be done by Krishna only. Magic can be done by Krishna only. I hope that this will be granted to me, and I hope that I can bring many people, as many as possible, especially my disciples, on this road. Up till now I have only one disciple who has understood it. I will not tell you his name. You don't know him. He lives far, far away from this country. And I will protect him by not mentioning his name. I have one disciple who is fully understood. I'm very proud of him, but we talk, two of us, very, that don't let the world know. Don't let the world know how many rounds you chant. They will praise you and you will believe it, and then you will ruin everything. So these are things which are kept in secret, the spiritual things, the deeper things. So I hope to share this with you more and more, and I see that many of you are starting to understand. I see that there are many of you are serving the holy name very nicely, I must say. I'm also very, very good. I'm very happy. I have an assistant who can help me to sing and find the melodies. Otherwise, I'm not very musically talented, but for kirtan, it is good to know some melodies. So I'm very happy to move in this direction, because when it comes down to the real reality, we have to purify our heart. It's self-help and this thing and moving a little higher, stretching the mind a little further, practice gratitude, come out of the mentality of lack and enter the mentality of abundance, and you will attract good things. Yes, it is all true, but you still have to die. Yes, to come. The problems of material existence are still there, and only if your heart is pure, you will go to the place where you belong. So that's why. Yes, these other things are important. They help people to just get going. Understand, we can improve our life. We don't have to remain victim. It's very good. It has its place. But the holy name takes the first place. Everything else comes then. That is my deepest conviction. And I'm very happy that you listen to me with interest. I hope that you will think about this lecture. Maybe you want to become also a disciple who understands fully, or more and more. Maybe it's interesting, and find out some true miracles in life. Hare Krishna. So I'm finished. I mean, I can talk more. No need to stop. I have a lot here in this book. But this was for now. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Shri Gauri Thai ki jai. Gaur Prema Nandi ki jai.